Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. I'm your host, Tommy Casabona. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it. If you guys wouldn't mind also, please follow us on Twitter at Yankees and Gravy. Also, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is get the podcast app for iTunes. Just type in Yankees and Gravy, do a search. You'll find the same thing on Stitcher, same thing on Podomatic. We're doing our best to get this out to you from as many different platforms as possible. Either way, also on Facebook, you can look up Yankee Gravy on Facebook. It is a friend page, not a fan page. That is why it's simply first name Yankee, second name Gravy on Facebook. And that's kind of where I am most active. But anyway, let's get into it. It's been a little bit of little time has passed since the last podcast, and I want to get into the overall state of the Bombers as we normally do at the top of the show. This time it is, like I said, there has been some time since the last podcast, so things have switched a little bit. Things have changed, and to be honest with you, they're not good. Listen, this isn't going to be doom and gloom, all doom and gloom. If you're looking for, I'm telling you, I'm a self-proclaimed cynical Yankee fan, but I'm not a Yankee fan to, when there's a fighting chance, to just kind of give up on them. That's not what we're here for. We're going to be honest. We're going to tell you what it looks like right now, and it doesn't look good. But we're also going to do a little reaching, possibly, and also try to, I guess, paint a little picture as to how things aren't as bad as they may look. The reality is that it's not looking good. Usually, you know, throughout the years, our pitching would be our Achilles heel. And it would be like, you know what? Yeah, we got the bombs. We got the bats. We got the guys who can, you know, Hall of Fame caliber type hitting. But, you know, the pitching probably just isn't going to hold up. Now, aside from the last 2 days, I know Pineda didn't pitch well yesterday. First came back off the injury. He pitched good for four innings besides that one home run. Then he lost it in the fifth. And Nova just had a full collapse. But other than that, those two, our pitching has remained good enough to win. And if you don't think so, you're not paying attention. Even the starting pitching. I know the bullpen is our strength right now. But even the starting pitching as a whole has been good enough to win. What are we talking about? The problem with us is really, I mean, the hitting, you know. We have 589 runs scored. This is still the second most runs scored in the entire league. I'm not talking about the American League. I'm talking about Major League Baseball. 589 runs. That just shows you how hot we were. That just shows you what A-Rod, Tex, all these guys were bringing to the table early. Ellsbury, Gardner. And where we are, where are we now? We're still, because I don't know. I didn't look up what our run total was the last month, but I guarantee you it's probably in the lower half. So 589 runs, the only people who have more runs than us, the only team that has more runs than us, and it is 100 more runs, is the Toronto Blue Jays. So that is what it is. And the reason for our slide, the real reason, I mean, we'll touch on the defense, obviously, but A-Rod, Tex, Gardner, and Ellsbury, that was our team. Those four guys. Now, there's pieces around those guys, and we'll cover them because they are significant. But as to why we were playing like the best team in baseball, well, there was a stretch. We were playing, and we were the hottest team in baseball. And you could make the argument that we were the best team in the American League for a stretch run. And when that was going on, you had the two guys at the top who were both really good hitters, really good energy guys, and just, I mean, they would just wreak havoc on the base paths. It was Gardner and Ellsbury. And then you had Tex and A-Rod that would just bang them in. And all four of those components right now seem to be pretty much missing. A-Rod is a shell. Tex is hurt. Gardner is worn out. Like, you know what? Every year you hope this isn't going to happen, but it kind of seems to do happen with him every year, where he just plays so freaking hard all year long. And every year he gets a little old. He's 32. You know what I mean? He's not old by any stretch, but, You know, he's not 25 anymore. At 32 years old, you are not, you know, you are on the wrong side of your peak athletically and physically or whatever you want to call it. And Ellsbury's hurt right now, slash tired, slash I don't know what. But these four guys are the reason why we were where we were. And they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing right now. We're just not able to do what they're doing right now. And that is why we are where we are right now. So if these guys don't produce, our offense is always going to be stagnant. And what that's going to do is also, you know, like I said, we do have other pieces around them that could pick up the slack on any given day. But ultimately, it's going to just really put a lot of pressure on our surprisingly good pitching. Now, our pitching, I think, is built to hold up. It's built to sustain. Our pitching is not built to carry us. You know what I mean? The offense, the people we have at the plate, should be doing the heavy lifting like they were all year, 589 runs. But now, whatever that average amount of run total per game is over the last 4 weeks, you could just see it too. You know, you talk about the eye test. Don't just read this. Don't just look at the stats. Even when they do score, you know, they're having to win games by sacrifice flies. It's not pretty. I mean, these pitches are baffling us. We just don't look comfortable. And you just got to think it's basically kind of, you know, maybe they're tired. I don't know. Gardner even called it out the other day. He said, you know, they lost the 15-1, 15-0, whatever it was, and then the 6-2 yesterday. And now he even said after the game, he's like, the energy is not that good. Now, you do wonder, you know, you're getting your asses kicked. The energy is going to, you know, you're not going to be so pumped. You know, you're going to, the energy level and the positivity and the love fest, you know, that seemed to be going on with everybody kind of like high-fiving and jumping up and down in the dugout that we had earlier in the year is not there. And is it because, is the offense not producing because that's not there, because the energy's down? Or is the fact that these guys are tired and not hitting slash hurt? And is that why it doesn't look like they're excited? You know, either way, you have to maintain a positive vibe. You have to maintain an upbeat attitude. And these guys are veterans. It might be harder for them to do that. But B, because they're veterans, they should know. Attitude is important, especially when you got some young guys, and they are mixing in some young guys this year, to show that, you know, you can't get down after a few losses or even a couple of weeks of losses if you want. I mean, you can, but don't expect to get to where you want to go. So hopefully these are just, you know, like I said, the baseball season is a long season. You know, you're going to have the dog days, especially when you're not a team right now like, you know, you're not a 98 Yankees team. You know what I mean? You're not an 86 Mets team. You're not the team where, you know what, you're going to ride your talent through and you're not going to have a bad day. This is a team that's a really good, solid team when all things are working well. And when all things are working well, usually it's because the right mix of talent, energy, pitching, hitting, defense, everything is clicking. And you know what? For a team like this, it's just not going to always click. And what you hope is that this is a slump, albeit an extended slump. It's a longer one than we'd like. But hopefully, it's just a little bit of the dog days. It's you know, even though it's younger this year, it still is a kind of older team. And an older team on, you know, August 27th may not be playing their best baseball. And, you know, that's it. And that's why I'm, you know, trying to hold out some hope. The other thing is the defense. You know, I've said it many times. Could be the ultimate reason why we end up in trouble, and one of the ultimate reasons why we are where we are right now. I don't know, guys. How many two-out errors have you guys seen us make? And then they lead to big innings. A couple of them were from Beltran, who were like, when it happens, you know, I gave him a pass on a couple of them because, you know what, he's won a couple of games for us. He definitely has. But, you know, between him, Headley, Didi early in the season, it's been an overall mess defensively. Even Ellsbury's starting to catch the Edward bug a little bit. You know, the other thing you worry about if you're going to, you know, be scared, it's the Blue Jays in Houston. You don't see the Yankees right now, the way they're playing right now, being as good as either of these teams. They're just not as good. I mean, today on, you know, August 27th, 2015, you know, I don't know if I would have said that, you know, July 20th or whenever, you know, July 15th. Right now they're not. You know, we still got another month left. So who knows if 16 to 21 days we won't be better than them or as good as them again, because we do pick it up. But right now we're not. Now, like I said, the reasons that I want to maintain a certain level of hope is that, you know, a couple of things. First of all, talk about starting pitching. We have Severino, Tanaka, and Eovaldi. All these guys are capable of shutdown performances. We also got Pineda. Pineda is also capable of a shutdown performance, but I'm going to put him on a different tier because of the fact that, A, he's hurt, and B, we know that when his slider is not on, you're not going to, you'd like to see him be able to figure out how to have a decent game without a slider being on. It's always been kind of like feast or famine with him. But, you know, I still hold out hope. And when Pineda for a time this year was our best pitcher. He was our ace. And who's to say that that can't happen again? So take those four guys, and you got all four guys who are capable of shutting you down at any time. Yes, and every one of them as well has the ability to, you know, serve up a clunker. But I think those are four capable guys, and I'm happy with those guys. Them at their best, yes, you're talking about a good staff. And then you got Nova. Nova's the fifth starter, and what? Is he any less reliable or any more inconsistent than, you know, most teams' fifth starters? He's going to give you some innings. He's also going to give you some inconsistency. He's going to give you a good upside, but he's also going to give you a horrible downside. And that manifested itself in the worst way in that game against Houston, which we all would probably choose to forget. Think about this also. We're losing to some decent teams, guys. You know, we're losing to, what did we just lose to? We lost to the Astros. You know, that's the class of the American League, most people are saying. So it's not like, you know, the freaking Phillies came in and took two out of three or three out of four from us. You know, these are decent teams we're playing, and, you know, we're doing our best. You know, we won that first game with the Beltran sacrifice fly. We got our asses handed to us the second game, and we had Pineda just coming off the injury, who didn't really pitch that well. Now, we didn't score, though. You know, you don't like the fact that we're having so much trouble scoring, but, you know, they took two out of three. We lost two out of three from the best team in the American League. So you don't necessarily think you should really freak out off that. I guess in summation, you know, the case can be made if you're looking at it for either one, half full or half empty. This team is not playing great baseball by any stretch of the imagination right now. We did. We went from the hottest team, I basically consider it like the month straddling the All-Star break. Going in and coming out of the All-Star break, I feel like we were the hottest team and maybe the best team in the AL overall. To now what we are is mediocre at best. You can't forget about how long of a grind the baseball season can be. If we can locate our energy, get our legs back, get some of these guys some well-needed rest, and keep it close, we can still pull out a division. And I think that would obviously be the more desirable outcome of this whole thing. You know, nobody wants to sit around and, hope for a wild card. And let me tell you something. The wild card for all these people that are running around saying, all right, well, you know it's going to be either the Yankees or the Blue Jays, the wild card. I'll give the Blue Jays a lock right now because the way they're playing is just off the charts. But we're not a lock for the wild card. If we continue to play how we're playing and we don't come up with something, we're gonna have a dogfight with the Orioles or whoever it is coming up on us in the wild card. So it's not for us to assume that we're gonna make the wild card. But if we do get a wild card, it's a one game crapshoot. If we win the division, I feel as though we're gonna have a good shot. We're gonna have I feel like we have a legitimate chance to make a decent run if we get hot. I don't think we're the best team. No, we're not. And I don't think by the end of the year, I don't see us becoming the odds-on favorite to win the World Series at all. I think there was a time this year. I'll stop short of that. We were never going to be the favorite to win the World Series. But I think there was a time this year that people thought if we keep playing the way we're playing, we're pretty much as good as anybody. And, you know, we got a shot. Right now, that's long gone. But if we win the division, I still feel like we might have enough of a, you know, we'll have some confidence. We'll feel like we have a fighter's chance with some good pitching, you know, dumb down the rotation a little bit, get our bats get a little hot. I feel okay. I feel okay, and I feel like we'll have a good October. You know what? Maybe get into the ALDS or ALCS, and, you know, that's for this team, that's not a bad year. It really isn't. And who knows? Things go right. We can make it to the World Series, and if that happens, who knows? Listen, I know I'm talking crazy. It's freaking, you know, not even September yet, and we got a bad baseball team in front of us. But, again, what are we doing this for? What are we rooting for this team for? Are we rooting for – we're a fan of the New York Yankees, and I say it is my God-given right to expect a World Series every year. You know, it sounds a little silly the last couple of years based on how we've been performing, but you know what? I'm a Yankee fan. I don't show up to these things to freaking expect to lose. So that's where I'm just painting some scenarios. I paint the worst case, we don't make the playoffs. I paint the best case, which, fuck it, I'm not going to say that World Series is out of the question. You want to call me delusional, whatever you want to do. This is it. This team, I mean, the team has basically gone from a team that looks like it should win to a team that maybe can win. Here are the keys to me, like we talk about. The big four on our offense, Gardner, Ellsbury, A-Rod, and Tex. They got to get back to the destruction they were causing. We got to get them some rest. Let's go by them one by one. Gardner, we talked about it. He's worn out. The guy is a fire starter. The guy is the guy you want on your team all day, every day. I love Gardner. He plays hard. He wants it. He's not the most talented baseball player, but he is a very gifted athlete, and his desire and heart are off the charts. And you know what? That's a captain-like guy for me. Ellsbury, physically similar to Gardner, but I don't see him as the emotional guy that Gardner is. You know, he don't have that drive, that force, that burning will that Gardner has, but he has more talent as a baseball player, better hitter. I mean, when he hits, when he connects, you ever see – he hits the most straightest, hardest line drives that I've ever seen. Not so much power, but, I mean, when he gets around on one, he rips them up the middle. You know, they never even get over, like, 6, 7, 8 feet high, but he just rips line drives, man. And it's, you know, but, you know, he's probably tired right now. He's probably a little bit hurt right now, and we need to get him back. A-Rod, we know about that. He's hurt. A-Rod's hurt. What can you say? I'm sorry. Tired. There's no doubt about that. If you ask A-Rod today, he won't lie to you. He'll tell you he's tired. And Tex is hurt. So those are the four guys. When we were on our game, we were getting all-star performances from each of those guys. And right now, we're not. So we got to do whatever we got to do to focus on getting those guys back to who they are. What we also have to do is maintain what's going on with McCann and Beltran. They are perfect for what they're doing. If you look at these two guys, let's take McCann. The guy's got 22 home runs and 75 RBIs. If you want to talk about a guy who's bounced back from the year before and, you know, underperformed last year, he is definitely, definitely coming around and bringing to the table what we thought we would get out of him last year. And you cannot, if you're a New York fan, have any issues with Brian McCann. He's batted anywhere in the lineup that Girardi has asked him to, and he's a serious, legitimate threat. He's been there all year, and just, I mean, handled the pitching staff really well. Brian McCann quietly is having a year that not a lot of people are talking about, and it is, I mean, an unbelievable year. Great year. Beltran, this guy, we thought maybe in April he should probably be out of baseball because he just looked terrible. He looked tired in April. He looked bad. He looked whatever. But, you know, he was coming off an injury. He was rusty. And do you guys realize that he has been hitting starting May 1st? And that's a long freaking time ago, guys. Starting May 1st, his batting average is over 300. What's his home runs? 14, 15, something like that? Yeah, maybe you want to see a little bit more power out of him. But this guy has been clutch. He has been consistent, and the car alarm is done. That's Beltran. You got Beltran, who is, I mean, he's hitting great. You have no complaints about Beltran. He's clutch too. You got to remember that too. And when we get to the postseason, Beltran is, that's where he's made most of his money. He got that one contract with the Mets basically based on what he did for the Astros in that playoff series back in the day. What a beast he is, man. I mean, in the postseason. So those are key guys. You're going to need Beltran. What else are we looking at? Starting pitching just has to hang in there, like we talked about. They are pitching well. I mean, every day, you're seeing these guys kind of come in and turn in a good performance. Even CeCe, before he got hurt, was starting to come around and just turn in good performances. You also have some dominant performances mixed in and the very rare clunker, as we say. The relief pitching is clearly the class of this team. It's surpassed power hitting as the strength of the team, and you know, that's the one area right now, knock on wood, as you know, that's not wood, that has really been something we can definitely rely on. The other thing we have to do, I think, is to stay away from the key error, the big error. I mean, like I said, how many times has it happened where, and it sounds like the Murphy's Law type of situation, what can go wrong will. Every time we do a two-out error or a, you know, an error that should play that easily should be made, it finds its way. Trouble finds that. You never get that out after that. It leads to 3-4 run innings. It leads to whatever we don't need it to lead to, it freaking leads to. So that's what I think we have to kind of focus on as far as if we want to be positive Yankee fans and we really want to think we have a chance to stay in the mix. I think if those things happen, we really, really do. If we get those guys back on track, the starting pitching maintains, McCann and Beltran do what they've been doing, and we stay away from the big error, I think we can make it back. So Severino, let's talk about him. We got a little bit of a body of work under our belts with him, 3-4 starts, whatever it was. You got to love what you're seeing. I mean, at the same time, you got to look at the Mets, and they have probably 3 or 4 guys that are better than this guy, but that's just, they're freaks. That's just a freaky situation. Severino is shaping up to be exactly what everybody said he would, a high-end number two starter. He does not look like a shutdown ace as of yet, but you got to remember, you know, how rare are those guys? You know, don't, just because you're not seeing Randy Johnson on the mound or Pedro Martinez doesn't mean that this guy is not going to be a horse for the next 15 years for us. He's been looking very, very good, and, you know, he's not dominant, and I kind of make fun of it on some of the posts I write, you know, about the poise. That's all you hear, you know, and it's funny, but it's not funny because it's true. It's really, really important. A guy who's that young, who's 21 years old, and comes in and handles himself on the level that he does is remarkable. And even when he does make mistakes, you know, that's what a lot of people are mostly impressed about with this guy, because it hasn't been smooth sailing all along, because he has found a way to get himself into some trouble in some certain situations, he's never let that unravel. And you hear the word poise from everybody, poise, poise. So I've just been kind of being a smart ass and, you know, Hall of Fame poise. I'll type in, like, you know, tonight at the Yankee Stadium, mystique, aura, and poise. You know, this guy is just overpowering, overwhelming poise. You get sick of hearing poise because, you know, you need a lot more than poise to make it in this league. But obviously, you got more than poise when you got your first 24 innings in the league. You got a 2.73 ERA with 24 strikeouts, only giving up 3 home runs and 7 earned runs. Guy looks great. Not spectacular, not dominant, but so consistent. And he could get better. I'm not sitting here telling you that he can't, you know, become great, learn another pitch, all that stuff, whatever. But he's been very, very good. And to get a top-line number two starter, which is what he's looking at right now, what a godsend. And you know what? So far, the way it is right now, if he just keeps up the way he pitched his first 3 games, if he keeps that up for the next 15 years, yes, it was absolutely the right decision, despite what I said, to not trade this guy, you know? The other thing about him is that, you know, it's just weird. He profiled as a, you know, 94-mile-an-hour guy who could maybe dial it up to 96. He's gotten up to 98. I don't know if it's body maturation or it's just adrenaline, but he's pitching a lot harder. He's throwing a lot harder than anybody who scouted him said he kind of would consistently. What else do we want to cover today? I don't know. I don't have a lot on this, but to me, what do you guys think? This Ref Snyder thing, is this a mystery to you as it is to me? I mean, obviously he's got to come up during the call-ups when, you know, the minor league season ends, but what is the deal? They're obviously in an offensive slump. They have been for a month. And this guy, if he's anything, he's offense. There have been some reports, nothing substantiated, nothing corroborated, that he wasn't the most popular guy when he was up here with either the players or the managers. Seemed a little entitled, a little bit of an ego guy, this and that. I don't know. I'm just saying what some of the reports are out there. I'm not meaning to fuel that or anything like that, because this kid can be the nicest guy in the world for all I know. He could be humble. He could be all those things. I don't know. I'm just saying some of the things that I've heard, and the only thing I'm repeating them I'm sorry. The only reason I'm repeating them is because I can't think of another reason why they wouldn't try to get this guy up here and get his bat. Seems like they're using most of their call-ups and most of their minor league maneuverability on filling in some pitching holes, which is understandable. But I really feel like this guy probably could be a nice addition to a team that's just not hitting right now. He would fit a need. If his strength is his hitting, if his strength is the bat, I mean, is there any bigger need that we have right now? So, I don't know. Anybody have any theories or hear anything on why Ref Snyder just seems to be in, you know, the minor league purgatory, even though we could have a strong use for him? And considering we also did bring him up earlier in the year, why isn't he up here? Why isn't he on the Yankees? I don't know. I'm going to be looking for information and looking for answers on that one. Interesting thing happened the other night. That incident with Carlos Gomez when he got out. I mean, he got out and he was frustrated and he threw the bat. You know, I think in any time when you're dealing with a situation like this, the person's history. Well, what I'm referring to is the benches sort of cleared the other night. It was one of those baseball, maybe a fight's going to break out. Maybe it's not. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe 30 seconds from now, 24 people will be attacking each other and rolling around on the floor, pushing and shoving. You never see any freaking – I've done that too. Look at the worst baseball fight you've ever seen. Is anybody really fighting? I mean, yeah, you've seen a couple. You've seen a couple where there's a couple of guys in there and they want to box and they want to throw down. But for all the baseball fights that have been out there and for all the melee and the potential, you know, destruction that could happen when 24 guys versus 24 guys meet in a field and want to fight, there's really never been a real baseball fight, has there? I mean, it's funny how that happens. I mean, when is that one time where it's uncontrollable, where you got 24 guys, or because you're never going to have 24 guys that all want to hurt each other, but let's say 12 out of the 24 really, really want at each other and really are throwing haymakers and really there's bloodshed and, you know, it never happens. There's a couple, I guess, a couple of minor ones when, you know, obviously the Tino Martinez one with, what's his name, Benitez. What else? You know, I don't know. There's the Nolan Ryan, even that was a joke, the Nolan Ryan one with, you know, what's his name, Robin Ventura. That just obviously looks so much worse than it was. Nolan got him in a headache and gave him a couple of, you know, they call them noogies. He gave him, it looked bad, but I'm just saying, it's funny how when they go out there and they're charging each other, there's never been, you would think too, like how could that happen when two entire baseball teams go and attack each other? That's a 50-person brawl, and you would think they would at least come up with, like, you know, bloody something, broken nose, broken jaw, something semi-serious. Never happens. They just end up pushing each other. But the Carlos Gomez incident. So, like what I was getting back to before, historically, this guy has been known to be a little bit of a jerk and a bit of a guy who confronts people and a guy who kind of stirs the pot a little bit and has been responsible at some points for the start of things like this. So I guess that's what kind of happened. But in this particular situation, the guy just plays with a lot of motion. He threw the bat. He didn't like that he got out. And to me, you're not showing anybody up when you do that. Maybe you're being a jerk. You know, Paul O'Neill used to go in the dugout and just take his frustration and just destroy whatever was in his path, water coolers, telephones, bats, helmets, anything, you know, you just knew to run away. And yeah, he looked a little bit like a jerk, but we all know Paul. We love Paul. He's just a passionate guy who didn't like making out. This guy did the same thing, basically just threw his bat, ran to first base, and then the Yankees started chirping at him from the dugout. Now, the Yankees probably started this one, you know? This guy threw his bat because he was pissed that he got out. He didn't hit a home run and showing you up. That's not what went down. He was on that particular play. He did on other plays. But on that particular play, he was just throwing his bat down, and somebody probably just said something to him, you know? And it's probably out of frustration because they're playing like shit. But I respect that. Go ahead, do it. Stir the pot a little bit. Say something to him, you know? But at the same time, as much as I want to say, oh, this guy was an asshole, Gomez, he probably wasn't guilty in this particular situation. Moving on. Let's talk about Eovaldi. Now, Eovaldi, I'm not gonna jump on the Eovaldi bandwagon with both feet and both arms, but at the same time, you have to be impressed with what this guy has done, you know? 25 years old, he hits over 100 miles an hour on the gun. I think he hit 102 this year. I mean, the guy's a flamethrower, and now he's starting to shut people down. Now, I know probably the next time he pitches, since I'm saying this, he's going to not make it out of the third inning, but the guy is 13-2, and I guess that just comes with a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence comes when you're getting a lot of run support. And what turned into just him getting all this run support has ended up with him being a freaking dominant pitcher. In his last outing, he pitched like an animal. Was it 8 innings? 1 run? I mean, he's pitching great right now, is long story short. And Craig Carton of Boomer and Carton in the Morning. Now, the guy's probably by his own admission, I don't want to say buffoon or clown or whatever, but he's definitely the kind of comic relief guy. He knows his sports, but he's definitely the guy who kind of will step in and say some wacky stuff just to get the reaction, and he knows that's part of his game. And he said something ridiculous with Eovaldi. He goes, nobody's talking about it, but Nathan Eovaldi, Cy Young. And the first thing you do is laugh hysterically. But then you step back and think about it. Hold on a minute. The guy's 13-2. If this guy can work his way up to like 18-2, 19-2, if that could happen, like, and who knows that it can't. I mean, the way he's pitching, the way the run support he gets, I don't know. Let me preface this. It's not going to happen. But I'm just saying as a scenario, if he ended up not losing any more games and ended up being like 17-3, 18-2, 19-2, if he's 19-2 and through that he gets his ERA down to 3.50, you gotta consider him, right? So all this guy has to do is go out and pitch the way he's been pitching. The ERA will come down to 3.5 and he will end up 18-2. And you will absolutely have to consider this guy for Cy Young. It's just funny. It's something you would never think about. It's just very interesting. It's not going to happen. He's going to lose a couple of games. He'll probably, you know, pitch a few more clunkers. But it's just an interesting scenario to entertain. And Craig is actually right for bringing that up. Ellsbury. This is another guy who's probably tired, a little hurt. This is a key guy. We need him to step up. We need him to kind of get his act together. He's got to play like he's been playing in the beginning of the year. He has to figure out whatever's wrong with him. I know he had that, first of all, that defense. Speaking of defense, he grossly misplayed that ball in the outfield the other night. That was a disaster because what did that lead to? That led to 5 runs in that inning, and it also led to him being hurt. He had to dive for the ball, and here we are. So he's not 100%. He's not doing well, he's not feeling well, and he's not hitting the ball well either. And you know this guy has not necessarily been the fastest healer. He wants to make sure everything's perfect before he comes back. He spends a lot of time out. And, him getting hurt, this is a key guy. He has to turn around, and he has to, whether we need to give him a couple of days off, we need a healthy Jacoby Ellsbury if we're going to make a run at this. And I just wanted to touch on him again a little bit because I wanted to reinforce the fact that, you know, he's a guy who's needs to bring, you know, his game, what he's capable of doing, his talents to the table, and we got to get him some rest because this is an actual injury now, and you know, whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to be done between him and Tex. These are both guys; they're similar in the way that, you know, they both are susceptible to injury. They both, once they do get injured, they take a while to get back, and they're two guys that seems that, you know, as talented, as off the charts great as they are. Think about that 1 year. Think about 2011 when he had Ellsbury. Ellsbury hit he had 32 home runs and 105 RBIs, and he hit 321. That's an MVP year. You know what I mean? Look at that. Think about that. Ellsbury, 2011, 5 years ago, this guy had 32 home runs, 105 RBIs, and a 321 average. Seems like ancient history. But so when he's on. And him and Teixeira. Think about Teixeira during that era too. Was probably banging as well. But like, when these two guys are on, they're two of the better players in the game, but they are two of the Peyton Manning type guys, you might want to say, who have to have everything kind of going their way, you know, perfect, you know, perfectly healthy. They have to have the perfect situation, the perfect spot in the order, the perfect team. They a lot of things have to go the right way for them to kind of like be at their best. What else did I want to cover? No, just the Posada and Pettit thing. You know, I've been thinking about the Monument Park thing. And this is probably going to be it for a while, guys. So having said that, I was kind of like jumping on the whole bandwagon where everybody was saying we're retiring too many numbers. We're putting too many people in Monument Park. And I was saying that a lot. And I'm kind of thinking about it now and thinking about the fact that, you know what, we probably aren't doing this again for another, you know, a long time. We're probably not doing this for another 10 or 15 years now, right? Who do you see right now that, you know, with all these guys gone, are we going to be honoring in Monument Park, you know, 10 years from now? I don't think really anybody. So having said that, maybe we didn't overdo it so much. Maybe the fact that we were just in this incredible run and in this credible dynasty that, you know what, when that, things like that go on, when you're in the World Series as many times as we are, and when you win five World Series in the span of 12 years or so, maybe that's just what happens. Guys go in, and we have the guys, and they were all deserving. This is kind of like a cyclical thing, you know? We're not going to have anybody for a very long time now, nor should we. And who do you leave out of those guys? You know, people say, you know, leave out Posada. I don't think so. I think Posada exemplified and was as important, whether you want to call it talent-wise or whether you want to call it, like, you know, bench leadership. He was as important to anybody on that team. So I think he closed the door. I mean, it is crazy, though, all the ceremonies, though, you know? You have back-to-back days with ceremonies, so everybody's got to come the next day. Everybody's got to have two suits ready. John Sterling has to have and Michael Kay have to have, I guess, two different ways to announce all the people, all these same freaking people that they're going to be announcing, different spins on it. You have to – different order. I mean, we did two of the – we basically did the same ceremony twice. I mean, we probably should have just – done two at once, right? I probably would have done that. But either way, the ceremonies are probably going to be going away for a while. And I think, you know, rethinking the whole thing, and in retrospect, knowing that we're not going to be doing this or retiring anybody's number for a while, those were great years, man. And you know what? Those people who made that possible and who gave us that joy and made us proud to be Yankee fans and gave us those so many years in and out of just, you know, I called it just great, great, great cold weather baseball, which, you know, we know it's not to be taken for granted. So congratulations, Jorge. Congratulations, Andy Pettit. You know what I loved about that? They kept cutting to Terry Francona in the dugout, you know, for Cleveland. And he was on the top step for the whole thing, clapping for everyone. And he was our biggest – obviously, they were our huge rivals through the whole thing. And even when he was on – the Red Sox and managing against us, he was probably the one Red Sox I liked. He was a really good guy. You could tell he was a good guy, and you could tell he was. He even got more vindicated and became more of a good guy when he stepped down, because you had all those jerk offs in the locker room eating fried chicken, drinking beer, and singing songs, and he couldn't control the team anymore. He's like, you know what? These guys are acting the way they're acting. You know, I'm not going to come in and be, you know, the fuddy-duddy and the guy who's going to kind of ruin it. The Red Sox have always had like that wacky type of counterculture type, you know, situation. But, you know, you could do it when you're the idiots and you're coming in and you're working hard every day. But you know what? You grow out beards like they did that one year and, you know, call yourselves the idiots but still be focused on playing baseball. That's one thing. But when it gets to that Beckett and the Lackey and all those, that whole routine that they were doing and just being jerks and being basically ukulele, being demonstrative about being jerks, like not unapologetically would be who we are. And Frank Ona just had enough of it. And he just like, you know what? No problem. You know, I'm just going to walk away. This is my voice. They're not hearing my voice anymore. And I understand that. You know what? Screw them. You know, if they're not going to if they're going to just be so stubborn and kind of just, you know, get away from all the things you were instilling them in the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, and they want to do their own thing, good for you. Step away. You don't need that. You know, you've proven all you can prove. You've brought to the table. You've given that city something that they haven't had in almost 100 years. So I always liked Terry Francona, and I liked him even more seeing him during that Yankee ceremony, watching him be on the top step and clapping for every guy that was introduced. That is Yankees and Gravy. Yes, it may be time to panic now, as you know, as I said, it wasn't the last time. It may be time to do a little panicking, but do not throw in the towel. Do not give up on these Yankees. And, you know, with just a couple of things swinging the right way for us to be back in the mix and back to being, you know, what we were a month and a half ago. So thanks again for listening. Again, email me, yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter, @yankeesandgravy. Please search for this on iTunes and subscribe to it on your iPhone and listen to it on your commute. Also, Podomatic, Stitcher, everything, whatever. Yankees and Gravy, once again, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you soon.